Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
So when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless." Now, how good did Abraham do on that? Not very. Thank God for grace. "And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abraham fell on his face. I think maybe he fell on his face was because when God said be blameless, he was like, "Oh man, I've already like blown it a couple times in big major ways and I don't know if I can do this." So falls on his face before God and says, "And God talked with him saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations.'" So not just one nation, but many nations. "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be Abraham." So, of course, we know of him as Abraham. This is where that happened right here. God loves when he's doing things in people's lives. He likes to rename them. And even though we don't rename ourselves or have people rename us, when God brings us into fresh seasons, he, in a sense, puts a new name, a new calling, a new destiny on our lives. That's what God is doing right here. "For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful." And we stand in this promise as well. God wants us individually and as a church to be exceedingly fruitful. "And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." God wants this for all of us. "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, if that was not enough, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. I will be their God." And then here's what we're going to center in on is this next section. "And God said to Abraham, 'As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." Okay, well, let's just say, first of all, it can be a little uncomfortable to talk about circumcision in a mixed audience. Are we all together on that one? Okay, so we'll put that aside. Because God talked about this sign. And this sign of circumcision is talked about not just in this one place. We're going to look at many scriptures all throughout the Bible that talk about how important this sign is. And this sign is not just talked about in the Old Testament, but this sign actually has a central place in the New Testament as well. And we're going to take a look at that tonight. So here's what I want you to put down on your notes. First of all, for number one, write down, cut deeply. Cut deeply. When you move forward, sometimes you have to cut, and sometimes you have to cut deeply. So the first question that you and I might ask about this sign is, what kind of a sign is this anyways? Now, when I think about a sign, I think about something that you can easily see, right? You know, when you're driving on Ward Road out here and you go by that nice fountain area over there, it has big letters and it says Family Worship Center. And it's written in such a way that you can see it when you're driving by. It's not like in little teeny letters. It's not like tucked behind the fountain where you can't see it. The whole point of the sign is so that when people are driving by, they see the sign. Oh, that's Faith Bible Chapel. I think I'll pull in there. I think I'll come for a worship service. Or I have a sign on me right now. It's a ring. And when you see this ring, you know something about me. You know that I'm a married man. And this sign is on my finger so that you can see it. But what kind of a sign is this? Circumcision. It's on the most private part of a man. It's on the part of a man that you would not see unless you were married to him, or maybe you're the mom, or some kind of relationship like this. So why would God choose a sign that you can't see? The Hindus have a sign. They put a red dot on their forehead, and when you see someone with that red dot, you know, I think they're probably a Hindu. Other religions have a distinctive dress so that when you see them coming, you guess, well, I think that person is a Muslim, or I think that person is of that faith. They have it because they have distinctive outward marking. Maybe they have a tattoo-like mark or a cut on their arm or their face or something so that you can see it. But here God at the very beginning is going to have a sign between he and the Jewish people, and he makes the sign something you can't see. Why would God do that? Well, the reason God would do that is because the sign pointed to something way more than the physical sign. And God didn't want his people to be known by a physical sign that you could clearly see. It wasn't about a dot on the forehead. It wasn't about a tattoo. It was about something far deeper than that. In Deuteronomy 10:16, which is a few books after the book of Genesis, it says this. Let's come up on the PowerPoint. Therefore, circumcise, there's that word again, the foreskin of your heart, and be stiff-necked no longer. So what's God saying? How do you circumcise your heart? What God's saying there is go deep. Cut deep into the innermost being of your heart. The word heart in the Bible, we use the word heart to refer to our emotions. So, you know, how's your heart today? How are your emotions feeling? But the Bible doesn't use the word that way. In both the Old and the New Testament, the word heart means the entirety of your being. So God is saying, go deep into your innermost being and cut stuff away. In Proverbs 4:23, it says this, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your innermost being with all diligence, with all care, with all carefulness, for out of it spring the issues of life. Or out of it spring, in the same way that blood springs from the heart and is pushed into the rest of your physical body, your innermost being, your attitudes, the way you conduct your life pushes a life flow that is either healthy or unhealthy into your entire being. So how's your heart? How's your attitudes? One of the things that we find many times in people who, or we should maybe say ourselves, we find ourselves doing things that we don't really want to do. We know that, well, that's not quite the right attitude. I shouldn't be talking about that person. I should do this. I probably really shouldn't be doing this anymore. Many times those things spring out of an attitude that hasn't been dealt with. It could be an unforgiveness. It could be a hurt that's festering. It could be a habit that we've allowed in our life. And so this sign, this circumcision, that was something physical, is fulfilled in that which is spiritual. When God says, circumcise your heart. Cut deeply into your innermost being. Check out how you're doing. Take your pulse of what's happening inside of your life. Circumcision isn't just in your body, but maybe more importantly, it's in your heart. And then circumcision is brought up again in the New Testament. Number two, would you write down cut out? Cut out. Paul, one of the great writers in the New Testament, takes this theme up in Colossians chapter 2. He says, in him, speaking of Christ, you were also circumcised, there's that word again, with the circumcision made without hands. So the circumcision that happens when you come to Christ is a circumcision that isn't done physically, but it's done spiritually. It's a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now that sounds like kind of a confusing phrase. What in the world does that mean, the body of sins of the flesh? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it does not mean. What it does not mean is that when you come to Christ, all your inclination to sin is totally gone. How many of you notice that it's still around? Okay, anybody besides me, sometimes, you know, you just want to like, you know, go off and slug somebody, someone cuts you off on the road, and, you know, you're mad about it. So that inclination to sin is not totally taken away. You have one nature. It's a human nature. It's infused with sin. But when you come to Christ, it's also infused with the power of the Holy Spirit that's greater than that inclination to sin within it. So what's Paul saying here? He's saying put off this idea that you're going to live just like the world lives, that you're going to give yourself over to what they give themselves over to, that you're going to live a life where you're just helpless against sin. God says, no, that's not how it's going to be for you. That's gone. That's over. You don't have to be addicted to old ways. You don't have to be addicted to unforgiveness. You don't have to be addicted to bad habits. You don't have to be unable to love and to care for people around you. He says, take that and just cut that out. He says, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses, this is before Christ, you're dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He is made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. So the forgiveness of Christ allows you to enter into this whole new life. It's not like you got to work hard. It's not like you got to change your life first. No, God changes your life, and then you agree with him in it. It says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, all these sins that were held against us because we hadn't asked Christ to forgive us our sins, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So all those sins that we've committed that hang over our heads to separate us from God, God has wiped all that away, nailed it to the cross. Now it's no longer standing between us and God. And he says that having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. This is way more than Abraham had. Way, way, way more. That God had defeated principalities and powers, the demons that hate you, the demons that are trying to take you down. God has moved them out of the way, and he's made a public spectacle of them on the cross and the resurrection. He's put them to shame publicly and openly, and we don't have to be bossed around by them anymore. Amen. So we need to cut things out of our life in order to really see that happen. How do we do that? Number three on your notes, write down, cut painfully. Cut painfully. Now let me just ask you guys something here. If physical circumcision was still the sign, wouldn't it be kind of a bummer if, like, at the end of the altar call, they said, all the men, if you just go right over here, how many men would think that would not be a good day? Look at this scripture here in Genesis 34. It says, now it came to pass on the third day when they, the Hivite men, they were all circumcised as adults. All the guys say, ouch. Yes, let's do it again. That's better. All the guys say, ouch. Say it like you mean it. All the Hivite men were in, what's that word there? They were in pain. And we won't go in the rest of that, to that story that happens there, but God is often looking for us as men and ladies. Sometimes we have to cut in painful places. And many times those painful places, it can be something that God's calling you to cut out. Maybe there's a habit in your life that you know it's not right, but you're still involved in that habit and you're rationalizing it. Blake talked a couple weeks ago about how we rationalize things, especially when God doesn't seem to be coming through, and maybe you're doing something you know isn't right. It's in business, it's in a relationship, and God wants you to cut that out. And you don't want to cut it out because it's going to hurt when you cut it out. But many times what hurts the worst is just plain old learning how to love. Would you agree with me on that one? Sometimes, and I'll speak to us husbands for a moment or future husbands, it can be painful to learn how to be a good husband. Isn't that right? Because I don't know about you, but I wasn't like naturally equipped to be a good husband. I was like naturally equipped to be, I guess, an idiot. So I get married, and all of a sudden, my wife needs me to meet her emotional needs, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like, I have a couple different emotions. One is, like, competitive, and the other is, like, mad. So, like, and neither one of those are, like, real helpful in marriage. Have you noticed that, guys? Like, most women don't really want to, like, hey, let's go out in the basketball court one-on-one, you and me. Mano-y-wife, I'm not sure. You know, and you're fouling her, and it doesn't work. And then the mad side doesn't work very well either. Have you guys noticed that? So for me, some of the most painful things I've had to do in my life is just learn how to be a decent husband, learn how to be a good husband, learn how to love my wife. It hasn't been easy. So not only do we need to cut things out, we also need to cut painfully, and sometimes that cutting painfully is adding things to our lives. And then number four, cut now. Cut now. Genesis 17:12 says, he who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. And then Genesis 17:23 says, so Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who were born in his house, all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Here's another similar scripture from Hebrews in the New Testament. Therefore, the Holy Spirit says in Hebrews 3, today, if you will hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. So speaking of the wilderness wanderings, when the children of Israel hardened their heart against God, and they were in that place where Abraham was with Hagar and making mistakes and being impatient. They hardened their heart in the day of trial in the wilderness. God was trying them. Were your fathers tested me? They tried me. They were testing God. They were trying God and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I want to ask you this question. What's your today? What's God speaking to you in this season in your life? Where are you where God's saying, it's a now word. What's the now word that God's speaking to you where he wants you to move forward on something in your life? Now, let's remember something. Abraham is how old? Say a little bit louder. 99. And Abraham is older than how many people here in this room?
Everybody.
So whether you're young, if you're young, God's speaking something to you. God doesn't start speaking to you when you're 18. You don't have like a pass. But God loves young people. And God's speaking to you right now. God's speaking to you about your life. God's speaking to you. He wants you to know how much he loves you, how much he wants you to walk with him, how much he wants you to enjoy him. And then all the way up, God is constantly speaking in our lives. What's your today word? Because what happened in the wilderness was, these were God's chosen people. This was the generation that was going to go into the promised land. This was the generation that was going to inherit the promises made 400 years prior. This was the moment. This was the day. This is what they had been waiting for and longing for centuries. But yet they didn't hear the today word. They tested God instead of being tested by God. And God said, you're not going to enter in. You're not going to enter in. He brought them out of Egypt that they might enter in, and they didn't enter in because of their unbelief and their disobedience. I don't want that to happen to me. I want to hear what God's speaking to me. It's rarely easy. And it's almost always painful, and it's usually deep, because if it wasn't, you could do it without God. But God pushes us to him with his today word that we might grab hold of him, saying, God, I need you to be able to step into this today word that you're giving to me. It will be scary, but it can't be done. And one of the ways that it's done is the next one, number five, is to cut wide. Now, what do I mean by cut wide? A couple of weeks ago, Blake talked about that the church shouldn't be the place where we come in and hide all of our stuff. But the church should be the place where we're able to expose our stuff and get help. In Genesis, we already read these scriptures. I won't read them again. But Abraham is told to circumcise everyone who is in his household. Now, our household of faith is the church. It's the people all around us. Again, continuing in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart, there's that word heart again, of unbelief in departing from the living God. Excuse me. But exhort one another daily, While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. So right here, the word of God, God's word for us is to exhort, which means to come alongside somebody and encourage them to go in the direction that they should be going in. Exhort one another, how often? Daily. Now, in order to do that, you have to be in relationship with other people. You're not going to expose the things that you're having trouble with to strangers. I mean, most people just aren't going to do that unless you're paying them money to sit and listen to you. But in the church, we have relationships, and then that allows us to be our real selves. And my question to you is, who speaks into your life? Do you have relationships where somebody could exhort you? Or do you keep everybody at arm's distance? Do you kind of dance around relationships? Do you make sure that you're never really in a setting where you have to get real, where you have to really talk to someone, where someone could potentially talk to you? And that doesn't mean that you have to be like in a relationship where, you know, you're asking questions every week, but you're at a relationship that's deep enough where that person knows that they can come to you. That circumcision was for the whole household. And so we help each other be circumcised in our hearts through relationships. So it's not just an individual thing. You didn't sign up to go off on a mountain somewhere and try to be a Christian. You signed up, whether you knew it or not, to be part of a church, a local church. Put your roots down in one local church and have it be a place where people can speak into your life. You also can speak into other people's lives as well. So cut wide. Make sure there's people speaking into your life. And then, number six, what do we cut with? Well, in physical circumcision, you cut with a knife. In spiritual circumcision, you cut with the sword of the Spirit. Cut with the sword of the Spirit. In Genesis 17, it says, and God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant. Everybody say, my covenant. Now, God didn't say this. Say, Abraham, I want you to, like, make your own covenant. Like, Abraham, what feels good to you? You want to do that? You can do anything you want. Yeah, just make it up. Matter of fact, you can make me up too. Yeah, whatever kind of God you want, just create your own God. That's what's popular today. Create your own God. It's kind of like, make your own sandcastle. Make the paper airplane any way you want. Make God any way you want. Make your own religion. But God said to Abraham, it's my covenant. This is my deal. I'm God. You're Abraham. Yeah, you're a great guy, but I'm God. You're Abraham. I'm the one who sets the rules for the game. When I came back to Christ, I knew some things had to change. I've been raised in a home where I had been taught basic morality, and even though I had not been living according to what I had been taught, I knew there was basic rights and wrongs. And I knew that if I'm gonna serve Christ, and I didn't really understand what that meant, but I knew there were some things in my life that they just had to go. I knew that it was his covenant. It wasn't me just walking into a bookstore and kind of picking out whatever Eastern religion book or whatever philosophical book I wanted and kind of play eeny, meeny, miny, mo and take that one and take. I knew that I was getting into a my covenant kind of deal. And so the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And the word of God tells us the covenant that God has. And then that theme of circumcision, which runs throughout the Bible in Romans 2:29, it says, but he is a Jew who was one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. There's the heart again, in the spirit, not in the letter. In other words, it's not just do's and don'ts disattached from the power of God, but that circumcision is done by God in your life, whose praise is not from men, but from God. And Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then lastly, number 7, and if we could have the band come back up, cut for relationship. Deuteronomy 30 verse 6 says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. For what purpose? To love the Lord. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. One person said it this way, to be committed was all. For one was pledged to a master and only secondarily to a way of life. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's a battle every single day. The world hates us. It hates what we stand for. There are demons out there, real live demons, who hate the fact that you're serving God. And they would love to destroy you, and they would if it was not for God's covering, and that he is so much more powerful than they are. But we battle against ourselves. Sometimes we're in battle against other people. Sometimes life is confusing and hard, and we think it'd be a lot easier just to chuck it all and just go with everybody else. We're pledged to a master. Circumcise your heart that you might love the Lord God. It's not first and foremost about do's and don'ts, but it definitely is that too. But it's first and foremost about relationship. Loving God. That was the purpose from the very beginning with Adam and Eve all the way through eternity, that God might have people that would love him.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.